Welcome to Talent Takeover
Unfiltered.
When it comes to working hard and keeping it real, we know our shit. Self-care, happiness, inner peace, and time. I'm Brianna Rooney, and this is Taylor Bradley.
Hey, y'all.
And we have thrived in chaos and turned it into an art form. So, Taylor, what are we doing here today?
We're here to give you a raw, under-the-hood view of all things recruiting and finally give credit where credit is due to a long underrated industry that's full of quote-unquote experts.
All right. Well, then let's take this show to the road.
Hello, hello. Coming in too hot as always. Talent Takeover Unfiltered with Taylor Bradley. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. Awesome. We actually, just for the listeners know, we do record a couple episodes in one day. So it's a Friday for us, even though you're listening on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So what are we chatting about today? I'm like excited for this.
We are chatting about bots, AI bots. We can't get away from it. It's only getting stronger. It's coming into recruiting in like a really massive way. And I know you have experience with this, but we have to learn how to pass the bot. Our resume has to pass the bot. We have to have video calls. We have to pass this bot. We have little chat bots coming up. I mean, what else? What other bots do we have?
The bots are everywhere. I mean, like everywhere. I think about that all the time with like going to the grocery store and what things are automated these days, not just the checkout lines, but being able to scan things from your phone. Like the way in which things are going with technology is just incredible to me. But specifically bots, specifically, obviously, in recruiting, you know, we've talked about this before, but one of the things that I just will like, it will never get old to me is I see so many resumes all the time in the ATS that are like, I saw one actually yesterday that was completely, you know, a resume is normal, like writing left to right. It was completely flipped to where at first I was like, is this in a different language? Like at first glance, I thought it was like not written in English, you know? And it was like,
yeah,
because it had all this crazy formatting and like a picture at the top, it did something in the ATS and it like flipped it, you know? And very few recruiters or companies, just like as a rule of thumb for everybody, if your resume goes into the ATS or uploads into the ATS with crazy formatting, they're not going to reach out to you to tell you, hey, can you upload another resume? Because it's like when you're getting thousands of applicants for things, you're not going to do that. And so I know that people tried to put together this super fancy resume with like color, like a color panel on the side and, you know, picture and all that stuff. And I'm here to tell you firsthand, it looks crazy in the ATS. Like we can't tell what's what. Things are overlapping other things. And so although it may look really good to you, like basic and simple is best when applying to a system directly through an applicant or applying to a position directly through an applicant tracking system. So, I mean, I'm sure you've seen that too with resumes, like crazy.
Yeah. So do you recommend, this might be a PDF or Word for the bots to read properly?
I would personally do Word, but like ours doesn't have any issues with PDFs or anything like that. It's truly just like those crazy formatting, but I would recommend Word because of it's sometimes you'll have hiring managers that want to see things in a specific way. For example, like they want to see it in a Google Doc so they can add comments on the resume for the recruiter. And so you can't do that with a PDF. And it's very hard unless you have a PDF converting, you know, obviously software. It's hard to convert a PDF into a Google Doc, like the copy and paste features. And it's much easier to do Word. So I think like taking it back to old school, like whatever, 2008, Times New Roman. No, it doesn't really have to be Times New Roman, but just being really simple and doing it on Word. And I promise you, like the recruiter or whoever will appreciate the simplicity of it. You don't need to do all of that other stuff because that stuff, I feel like, you know, people are trying to make their resume stand out and look the best that it possibly can and put the colors and all of that stuff. And I totally understand all of that. But I think whenever you're applying through an applicant tracking system, none of that is going to matter. It's not going to show up that way. And it's going to just actually be more work for the recruiter and maybe even a situation to where you get overlooked because if it's a mess, they'll just go on to the next applicant.
Exactly. And I think that I think of Legally Blonde, you know, when she like puts the perfume on the paper and stuff. Okay, we're not doing that anymore. You know, but like, yeah, they want to be like to stand out. Oh, we're looking at the same resume every day. But what I think you know, you guys aren't understanding is lots of times the bots looking at your resume and they're dwindling it down to the top applicants so we can look at it. So you might not even get past that. And actually, what kind of irritates me about LinkedIn, for example, is that when you download your resume, like, oh, great, you can download your resume really easily. Like, the PDFs look like shit that come from LinkedIn. And in my opinion, I actually look at it as like kind of lazy.
Yeah. I mean, I can honestly say that I haven't had anybody apply with their LinkedIn resume. In sourcing, though, we have definitely, like, in sourcing, I'll download a resume. I'll copy, like, the LinkedIn link, and then I'll download a resume if that's how a hiring manager prefers to see it. But, excuse me, but it's not one that I typically get from a candidate that way. I agree. That would be really lazy if that's all you did, because most people don't put the amount of information that you need on a resume on their LinkedIn. Because, like, who's going to read all of
Although
it?
They should. Yeah.
I mean, it would be like, think about, like, some of these resumes are 3 pages long. I know 2 was supposed to be the rule of thumb, but honestly, like, some of these are realistically, I think they're trending more towards about 3 pages is what I'm seeing these days. And if somebody put all of that on their LinkedIn, like, it'd be a lot. I've seen ones with a lot. I know you have 2 with a lot of bullets and a lot of stuff. And it's like, okay, that's information overload. Like, that's not what I want to see from LinkedIn. I want you to be brief. I want you to give me context. So don't just put your job title and nothing else. Give me context, but, like, not too much. But I do think one of the things that we should definitely discuss about is the video bots. Like, that's that was new for me. I know I've touched on it before, but that was completely new for me. It's such a unique and weird experience, and is one that I didn't love, and it felt very impersonal naturally. But in learning more about it, I realized that there's things that people can do to not trick it, but kind of, you know, to help sway it in your favor. Right. Yeah. So, like, when you're doing these video screens, it gives you, not all of them, I shouldn't say this because I haven't seen all of them, but it will give you kind of like a score for the person based on how they answer the questions. And a large component that makes up that score is touching on keywords that are in the job description. So it's like, whenever you're configuring the bot to be for that specific role, like, what are some things I want to hear? Personality characteristics, things they touch on, and how they answer questions that are, you know, more personality or characteristic based versus, like, the technical skills. And so it's always make sure that whenever you're going to do one of those, that you've read the job description and you incorporate some of those keywords that are in the job description in your answers. So you not only need to do that with your resumes now, you need to do that with your answers to bots whenever you're doing those video interviews, because that is one of the biggest ways that you will pass it. It also, which this is, I'm not really sure about, like, how accurate I think this part is, but it will kind of gauge from a, I don't want to know how to really say it, but, like, a personality standpoint, like, did the person seem really nervous? Did they seem at ease answering the questions? Were they able to keep it within the timeline required is another really big one, because you're given sometimes 1 minute, sometimes 2 minutes. That's the most I've ever seen to answer a question, which when you think about an interview question, because that's what they are, they're interview questions. It's really hard to get it down to 2 minutes, but it's like, okay, if one of the things they're assessing you on is your ability to be concise and brief in your responses, but still give a good amount of context, and you go over, you know what I mean, over the minute to where it cuts off your answer, like, that's something it's taking note of, you know?
Right.
And the other thing, you can't redo them. Yes. Perfect. Yes. Perfect. And you can't redo them. You cannot redo your answers to the questions in the systems that I've been in. Again, I haven't seen them all. But it does give you time to, like, here's the question. It gives you a countdown to, like, prep yourself to answer the question before the clock starts. But that's more than you would get in an in-person interview, to be fair. You know, you're not going to get a minute to prep yourself on how you would answer that question. But I definitely think that there's kind of a little bit more anxiety that comes with, like, seeing a clock counting down the time to how much time you have to answer the question versus if you were in person answering it. But those are 2 of the biggest things I would say to trick the bot or pass the bot is, like, incorporate those keywords. Make sure if there's a timeline allotted that you're actually adhering to that timeline to answer the question. Because if you go over, then it's going to score you lower.
Yeah, which is practice, practice, practice. So
yeah,
for me, if I was going to pass the bot, what I would do is I would take that job description. I would put it in ChatGPT. Let's do bot versus bot. And I would say, take out the most important things in this job description that I have to talk about in my interview. And additionally, please give me the tone of this job description so I can understand what type of personality I should portray. Like, I would ask the bot all of that shit. And also, you're kind of learning a lot about the company in general. And it's not perfect, right? Like, use your own brain. But then have those, because like, here's the beauty of having a bot to talk to instead of a human, is you can literally have post-its all over your screen, you know, all these cheat sheets and stuff like that. If you really want to do it and just have those keywords that you're talking about, I mean, it's just a Boolean, just like your resume is, right? So yeah. I love that you brought that up. So you're keep doing that. And then additionally, I mean, there's also bots on the other side that are training you how to pass these interviews. So whether or not you're training with a person or you want to train with a bot as well, you have to make sure that you are concise, because here's what sucks about the bot. The bot will not ask you a clarifying question. Mm-hmm. Whereas a human will ask you, kind of, like, first of all, that person maybe got off track, or hey, maybe they didn't answer it in the way that I was really hoping for, or that the hiring manager needs. But the bot's not gonna ask you for a second chance. Like, you get one chance. That's it. So that's what you have to really acknowledge with the bot, not to put more anxiety and fear into anyone. It's just like, do your homework. Do your homework and practice. Time yourself. Have the camera in front of you. Like, we have too much technology not to.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that right there is probably, like, we could save that for a broke to boss tip, but that's so huge. Like, we used to have to prep back in the day. Like, you've always had to prep for interviews. Yeah. In theory, you should always have had to prep for interviews. But this day and age that we live in, the way in which you have to prep for interviews, I feel like is because of these different technology. Like, it's so above and beyond, because it's not even just like, look at the company website anymore. It's like, understand, their social footprint, their social media, the landscape there, like, what's their presence on social media? Like, there's a lot of different things that you have to refer to when researching a company now that you didn't used to have to do. And like that, like, if you get one shot at it and you're thousands of applicants and you get one shot to do the video interview, you want it to be good. And so, again, it's like prepping, exactly like what you said, prep. You need to prep. You have to practice being concise. You have to practice being on video like this, because a lot of interviews are not really done in person, even for roles. When I was interviewing recently, 3 months ago or so, when I was in that process, I was like, oh shit, I haven't done this in a while. Like, I'm kind of out of practice. But even for roles that were local, where, there was an on-site component to it. So you could go into an office in theory, or there was come into the office a couple days a week. They still were doing the interview process completely remote, like via video. So I think that's really, really interesting, is that they're wanting, going back to episodes that we've, touched on earlier, where we're seeing that be more of a theme, that roles are not remote. They're starting to go back on site. Still, people want to do things the quickest way possible and the most efficient way possible. So oftentimes they will still do a video interview throughout the whole process. And then maybe your first day is when you show up and meet everybody in person. So it's really, really a good best practice to, like, look in a camera. I love what you said about all the post-its, but it's also really important to know that, like, eye contact in the camera when giving your answer is really, really important. And that you will be screen judged, whatever, based by the bot, based on, like, they can tell if you're reading something. And so
right.
You'd be scored accordingly. So that's worth noting too.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And then what about chatbots? Because I think chatbots also are trying to take over that initial screen. So that's, again, you better know what you want out of that company and what you want out of your own career before you even embark in that.
Yeah.
Because although the LLMs are getting better, they're be able to have more and more conversations with you, but still, it's still limited. And so, I even think about, maybe this is probably just a different episode, but I even think about salary negotiations. How are we going to start essentially negotiating with a bot? Let's leave that for a different time. But yeah, I mean, all of that stuff is coming. And we have to be prepared for it.
And I would say, like, so going into our broke to boss tip, because I know we're about at time, but I would say, like, the biggest thing, takeaway I had is, like, there's a stress of prepping for an interview in person, but, like, you have to do that and then some when prepping for an interview with a bot, because you're not going to get that, under human empathy or understanding. Like, a bot is literally just programmed to do one thing, and they're not going to read through an answer and dig deep, like you mentioned, dig deeper. So, like, the amount of prep that you need to do to interview with a bot is just as much prep that you need to do to interview with a person, and maybe then some, because if you've never interviewed via video, if you've never, like, you really have to prep in this day and age going into an interview. And y'all, I know it's exhausting. I know it's like a job in itself. I mean, it's daunting. It's awful. But prep is so important, and prep is what's going to, it's going to get you to the next step. Like, passing that bot is really, really important. It's the first step that a lot of companies are using these days, because there's such an abundance of applicants. And so it's important to know how you can approach that and, you know, pass it. And I think the keyword stuff is, I would say, if out of everything that we discussed today, if you don't take anything else away, it's definitely incorporate keywords from the job description into your answers.
100%. Love it. Boom. Good luck. And of course, naturally, talk to us about this. What did we miss? How can we help other people? Yes. This is what, you know, this podcast is for. On the other side, please review us. If you love us, share it.
We want to hear from you guys. Thanks, y'all.
Bye.